If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Something followed us in Zion National Park. This summer, my girlfriend and I went on a camping trip in Zion National Park. We had a really strange encounter there. Now, for those of you who might not be familiar with Zion National Park, the park consists of two areas, Kolob Canyons, which has its own visitor center and sits far off in the northwestern corner of the park, might as well be its own little park. Zion Canyon is the main section of the park. This story takes place entirely in Zion Canyon. Zion Canyon is a gorge carved out by the Virgin River, which flows from north to south. On the canyon floor, along the Virgin River, the Park Service had set up 9 bus stations around the main points of interest. I will use these 9 bus stations as reference points for the rest of the story. At the southmost point of the road, by the southern entrance of the park, is Station 1, Zion Canyon Visitor Center. This is where our campground, the Watchman Campground, is located. At the northmost point of the road is Station 9, Temple of Sinawava. This is the last station before the canyon walls become too narrow for vehicles. If you keep going north on foot, eventually you will reach the Narrows, which is a very unique hike at the source of the Virgin River. In the Narrows, the Virgin River is the lake. You will wade through the river against the currents, with the canyon walls narrowing in on you. Although it is technically possible to keep going as far north as you would want in the Narrows, most hikers turn back when the water gets to be at least chest level. For our entire time there, Station 9 and the Narrows were closed. Apparently, some hiker had gone missing from going in too deep just a few days prior. The Narrows is susceptible to flash floods, especially with the snow-cap water melting down into the canyon and raising the water level at that time of year. One other road connects to the main road at Station 3, Canyon Junction. This road goes east to the east entrance of the park. It actually goes through a tunnel through the mountain on the east. If you've ever seen those dramatic online videos of cars exiting the tunnel and seeing Zion Canyon, those videos were taken there. Station 3, Canyon Junction. For most of the year, including the time when we were there, the road north of Canyon Junction is closed to private vehicles. The park bus is the only way to reach any point north of Station 3. I'm a bit of a landscape photography nerd. This means for me, a day in Zion doesn't end when the sun goes down. After our first half day of hiking and being in nature, I dragged my girlfriend with me to go take pictures of stars. We drove out to Station 3, Canyon Junction, parked, and walked along Paroose Trail, taking pictures as we went. Paroose Trail is an easy trail that runs from Station 3 to Station 1, following the Virgin River, crossing it at various points with bridges. I had an idea for an exposure from one of the bridges where the Milky Way would be reflected in the Virgin River, with the Watchman in the background. To my disappointment, it was a dark night with no moon, so the foregrounds in my photos weren't illuminated well. At around 2 a.m., my girlfriend and I started heading back through the trail. We had just gotten to the main road when we heard rustling somewhere above us. We had parked in a small turnout along the main road, right next to the rock cliff. The Navajo sandstoned cliff wall stood almost at a 90-degree angle next to our car. I unlocked the car with my key fob, and the blinkers blinked. This illuminated the cliff wall briefly, just enough for us to see some rumbles falling from it in gusts, as if someone or something was climbing it above and kicking the rocks down as it went. My girlfriend freaked out a bit, and we quickly got into the car. The movement really stood out to us as the night was incredibly quiet. I half expected to see a bighorn sheep in my rearview mirror as I drove off. What else could scale such a steep cliff wall? My girlfriend nervously looked behind us, but it was too dark to see anything. I drove slowly, beyond the reach of the headlights. The world was pitch black. When I tapped the brakes, a little square of retro-reflective signage glowed red behind us with my brake lights. That's how I noticed the person behind us. They were running behind us. No lights, no reflective gear. Just a figure moving silently on the road. Their dark silhouette eclipsed the sign. For a brief moment, my brake lights flashed. I would have not been able to spot them otherwise. I was really creeped out, but I did a good job holding it from my girlfriend on the rest of the way back. By the time we got back to camp, I was sure we had lost the runner. Even though we were cruising at a safe speed, they couldn't have possibly caught up to us.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My girlfriend was still freaked out when I told her what I saw after we were safely zipped up in our tent. We tried justifying it, explaining it away, but couldn't really find a satisfying explanation. Eventually, the chatter died down as the exhaustion of the day and night had finally gotten to us. My sleep was disturbed by a faint, distant sound. It was fuzzy enough that I tried to sleep through it, but just annoying enough that I couldn't. Eventually, when I was finally cautious enough to process what it was, it had grown a bit louder and closer. It sounded like footsteps. Wet, soggy footsteps. Like someone had stepped in a deep puddle in sports shoes, and now every step they took made a squishy sound. I opened my eyes and focused on the sound. The wetness wasn't the only thing odd about it. It was also rapid and rhythmic. Someone jogging? Maybe the rhythm was too perfect. It was like a metronome. You don't realize how much natural variation there is in people's steps until you hear footsteps with none at all. It was jarring. Uncanny. I reached down to my phone and checked the time. 3:30 a.m. About an hour had passed since we had dozed off. Not the time for a morning jog yet. The sound got closer. I sat up. The footsteps had been growing louder at a steady pace, almost as if the person was making a beeline to our tent. I shook my girlfriend awake. "Somebody's outside." She sat up confused and listened with me. The footsteps sounded like they were less than 30 yards away now, almost in our campsite. We both held our breaths. Something else was off. With a jogger that close, we were expecting other sounds. Panting, breathing, the rubbing of their clothing against itself. We heard none of that. Just wet, disembodied footsteps running closer and closer. It was surreal. My heart was about to jump out of my chest when the footsteps closed the final 10 yards to our tent. It was unmistakable now. Whoever it was not going to just run past our sight. They were heading directly to us. My girlfriend almost let out a squeal. The footsteps did not slow down as it approached the tent. Still in steady, unnatural tempo. We braced ourselves for someone to run into our tent and onto us. Suddenly, it stopped. It stopped right in front of the entrance to our tent, uncomfortably close. It was an abrupt stop, no slowing down. One moment the footsteps were there, and the next it wasn't. It was almost as if the runner had carried no momentum at all. Now all is quiet. No breathing, no shuffling, no hint that someone was outside at all. But there was no rejecting the evidence of our own ears just moments prior. We looked at each other. I had to say something. "Hello? Who's there?" No response. "Hey, who is it?" I raised my voice. Nothing. My girlfriend turned on the flashlight on her phone, and I prepared myself mentally to go outside and confront the person. I stood up, hunched over in our two-little-person tent, and grabbed the zipper. It was stuck. Shit! I tugged at it. A piece of the fabric was caught between the teeth of the zipper. Tugging on it only made it worse. My girlfriend scrambled over to shine a light on the zipper while I clumsily tried to free the fabric. Whatever little courage I had worked up dissipated quickly in the panicked chaos. When I finally freed the zipper and ducked outside of our tent, darkness enveloped me. The moon was just starting to rise, but its light was negligible to me. Having just been staring closely at the zipper lit by the flashlight, I had to wait for my eyes to adjust to the darkness before I could make out anything. The wet, soggy footsteps were back. Just outside our campsite, illuminated faintly by the silver emergent moonlight, I saw him. A man. He was running away from the tent now, but he was running backwards. His unnatural movements made me shiver involuntarily. It's hard to describe the way he moved. It wasn't like when a person was trying to run backwards on purpose at all. It was like if you had an animation of someone running, but you played it backwards. His front knee thrusted forward, his back leg pushed off behind him, but somehow his body would land a step behind. The attack of his steps, the follow-through, it was all wrong. This was the same figure as earlier. Now that I'm taking a better look at him, I can make out his features better. A medium-build man, about the same as my height, maybe a little bit taller. He was dressed like a hiker, although his clothing looked dirty, and even torn in a few places. On his feet, making that disgusting squishing sound, were a pair of those red Adidas Hydro hiking boots that you would rent at the visitor center. If you've been to Zion during the summer, you would know what I'm talking about. I'd commented on how many people had them on to my girlfriend earlier that day. Tourists like to hike through the Virgin River in them. Under the bill of the shabby cap, shrouded in shadow, was his face. He had no face. Even in the faint moonlight, even in the shadow of his hat, I could make out the lack of features on his face. No brow line, no shadow casted by a nose, no ears. Where a face should be, was just smooth skin, featureless, no expression. I watched him run backwards into the tree line. After what happened that first night, we decided to sleep in our car for the second night. My girlfriend and I dropped the seats in my beat-up crossover and covered the windows with flattened food packaging boxes so we could have some privacy. It was more cramped than the tent, but we felt safer. Combine that with the lack of sleep from the first night, we fell asleep pretty quickly. Sometime in the night, I woke up wanting to pee. Being cautious, I perked up my ears and listened carefully for anything out of the ordinary. Nothing. I yawned, put on my shorts, and got out of the car as quietly as I could. I nearly pissed myself when I saw the man facing our car window on my girlfriend's side. He was just standing there in silence, almost touching the car door. He turned his head very slowly to face me. His featureless face looked almost swollen at places. I thought I saw movement underneath, thousands of squirming things. It was as if it was a swarm of festering maggots. He was drenched. His tattered hiking clothing stuck to his skin. His skin was so pale, I could see the blue and purple veins under it like worms. A small puddle had formed where he was standing. Suddenly, movement. I saw his shoulders flinch and his core tightened. I turned around and ran. Wet footsteps started behind me. Even in my nightmares of being chased as a kid, I'd never been so terrified. I sprinted so hard I almost tripped many times as I jumped over logs and rocks as I crossed other people's campsites. My breath was finally running out as I got to the main road. I started to slow down. The footsteps were not there anymore. Panting, I squinted my eyes and looked in every direction. I didn't see anything. I perked up my ears again and listened carefully. Nothing but the sounds of nature. I walked to the middle of the road, out into the open. The last thing I wanted was to be snuck up on. An uncomfortable amount of time passed. Even if he was walking, he would have caught up to me by now. Still, nothing. Have you ever swapped at a spider only for it to disappear? Now you feel worse because there's a loose spider in your house and you have no idea where it went. That's how I felt. Eventually, nature caught up to me, and I had to pee. A bad time to be so vulnerable, but such is life. I slowly walked near the tree line to do my business, still glancing around nervously. Wet footsteps somewhere in the trees. It was still an unnatural, perfect rhythm, but the tempo was slower this time. He was creeping. Oh, fuck no! I pulled up my pants and got far away from the trees. The footsteps sped up. I barely got to the middle of the road when he emerged from where I was just at seconds ago. I was faster than him, but I couldn't sprint forever. He seemed to always know where I was. There was no way I could lose him. I needed to get back to the car and drive away. The faceless man was running again now. I couldn't get past him on the main road. I decided to loop around and cut through the woods. I tried my best to put as much distance between us as possible on the main road before diving into the tree line. An unexpected ditch caused me to roll my ankle on the landing. Not daring to slow down, I tried my best to move straight along the direction I had cut into the trees. I exited the woods confused. If I'd run straight, I would be in a B-loop of Watchman Campground now. But I saw no cars around me, no tents, no campsites. Just a little dirt clearing among trees. No sound of footsteps. Was it playing with me? Shifting my weight to rest my ankle the best I can, I looked up at the cliffs around me. The Watchman Mountain was to my right. I should be right next to the campground. If I just went parallel to the mountains, I should be back at camp. I took a deep breath and walked back into the woods. The dirt beneath my feet started to stick to my shoes a bit. I rubbed my sole against the ground. Muddy. A shuffling to my left. I jumped and ran. Perfectly rhythmic footsteps were just a few feet behind me. I could feel the dampness and the air on the back of my neck. I was exhausted. A sharp pain shot up from my ankle with every step I took, and the trees were slowing me down. But the muddy footsteps behind me didn't seem to be bothered by the terrain. I felt such a tightness in my chest. I could taste blood in every gulp of air I took. The wind in my eyes made me tear up. When I finally saw the campground ahead of me, I threw myself at it. I sprinted, but it was barely faster than a jog now. The cold and dampness dissipated out in the open. I didn't dare to catch my breath until I finally threw myself into the car and slammed the door behind me. I turned on the car and drove. My girlfriend's confused murmurs turned into gasps of shock, and then into heart-pounding silence. We left the campground, left the park, through the little touristy town on the south of the park. Under the streetlights of the town, I saw him, still running behind us. Further and further back now, until I couldn't see him anymore. He never stopped chasing.